This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. Before even the first aftershock of the Haiti earthquake, journalist Steve Kahl explained how disaster coverage follows a prescribed path. For instance, on day 5, you'll have your late miracle story, someone pulled alive from the rubble, for example. On the first Sunday following the tragedy, there'll be the interpretation of meaning stories and lots of interviews with religious leaders. And day 12, he calls heading for the exits. According to Kahl, that's when editors begin to call their reporters home. So far, Steve Kahl seems to be right, most recently about that last one. 2 weeks after the earthquake, TV networks and print outlets are dramatically scaling back their Haiti presence. But one journalist who isn't going anywhere is the Associated Press's Jonathan Katz. Before the earthquake, he was the only American reporter based permanently in Haiti. We spoke to him on a bad phone line from Port-au-Prince, and he told us that before January 12th, he was pretty much on his own down there.
It's true that I don't usually get a lot of company on the island until something major happens. As it happens, something major seems to happen in Haiti every couple of years, and it then gets that kind of attention, but it's certainly not constant. I very much have to be to myself a lot of the time.
In the absence of infrastructure and ordinary resources like cell phone coverage and internet and so forth, has your knowledge and your connections on the island conferred any sort of advantage to you, or are you just as lost as anybody else?
Well, fortunately and unfortunately, this tragedy is not the first time that we've had experience here with down cell phone lines or ineffective communication networks or, you know, emails that get lost in the ether. It's something that we're used to. But there's a lot of things that go into reporting about a country like this that don't necessarily come down to being able to get a hold of somebody right at the particular moment that you need to get a hold of that one person. It has a lot to do with understanding the history, understanding the culture, and when you're talking to somebody on the street, which is really where I try to focus my coverage, talking to Haitians and finding out how they're experiencing what's going on at any particular moment, that context comes into play, and it enables me, I think, I hope, to provide a certain amount of understanding and background in the story that maybe somebody who had just parachuted in wouldn't be able to provide. But frankly, in those first days, I didn't know if I needed to get a hold of a source, if they were even alive or dead.
Have you had to bury some substantial percentage of your Rolodex?
I've lost friends in those earthquakes. Not just contacts, but people who are friends of mine, people who are important. Beyond that, there are a number of officials or people who I had contact with at various points, people who I would ordinarily turn to in a situation like this, who I would be in touch with right now, asking their opinions, asking for information, who are gone. And that's something that I don't think anybody's prepared for.
What's your reaction to the fact that the world's interests are going to move on now to the next big story, the next catastrophe?
As a journalist, it's certainly something that I understand. Audiences hold their attention on a certain story for a certain amount of time, and then after that, they move on to other things. People for whom Haiti is not part of their daily reality in their daily lives, they only maybe have so much emotional effort to expend on a single tragedy like this. But as somebody who's seeing the incredible levels of suffering that are going on in this country right now, I hope that the waning of attention is temporary and measured and is not the full extent that we've seen in the past, where it basically just falls down to zero until the next tragedy happens, because this tragedy is not over and will not be for a very, very long time.
One final thing, Jonathan. When CNN and ABC and NBC and a bunch of newspapers pull up stakes and fly back to the mainland, mm-hmm. They are going to be ceding to you once again the Haiti story. You know, has it occurred to you that, you know, you may be the sole American journalistic witness to the reconstruction of a society from dust?
It's possible. I mean, it's occurred to me. I don't know how quickly that's going to happen, really. I mean, we're seeing it scaling down, but it's not scaling down to zero or one, as the case may have been. I don't think that we're going to see over the course of this year, and this is speculation, but I don't think we're going to see over the course of this year a situation where I'm the only one here. A lot of journalists have come here for the first time, and they've discovered this place, and they left talking about wanting to come back and do stories over the coming months and probably the coming years. So I don't think that it's going to go back quite to the level where it was before. But, yeah, I mean, I think to a certain extent, the responsibility is going to fall back on us once again to be at least a very, very significant part of the coverage here. And it's a responsibility that I take very seriously. And it certainly provides a lot of opportunities to do stories that other people aren't going to do. And hopefully, if people really do pull out, they'll continue reading our stuff.
All right, Jonathan. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jonathan Katz is the Haiti correspondent for the Associated Press.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.